remember that Isaiah encourages us to look to. Now that look to doesn't mean to adore. That's not the word in the Hebrew used. There are other places it speaks of looking. It's all about looking with admiration. About looking with admiration. You know, to look with faith. But here it says to look to the hole of the pit were digged. And if you study that word, it means to remember, to ponder over, to think about the hole of the pit from whence we were digged. And I've said that there are at least six reasons for us to pit. And let me just go by the hole. I'm just go back and I won't go into them again. It says, first of all, one of the reasons to remember the hole of the pit is to honor God's mercy.
Yes, sir.
It's 3:1-8. Secondly, others, we would remember the hole of the pit so that we might be an example to others. 1 Peter 1:12-17. Thirdly, it is to encourage us. That is, to dig will encourage you. It encourages us to serve and wait. And I do have to stop here. You know, it is amazing how many people in this world there are. And I used to see it a lot years ago because I was around people like that all the time. But how many people who profess to be saved, and for them, serving Christ seems to be so dull. This ain't fun.
Yeah, exactly.
And let me tell you something. If this does not bring you a joy that goes beyond fun, you don't know the Christ of God.
Yeah.
You just don't know it. I don't care what profession they've made. I don't care what kind of experience they had. This thing, when God digs you out of the hole of the pit, this is something you will remember forever.
Amen.
Until he either takes your life or your mind, one or the other.
I
mean, you will remember this. And I'm not talking about I can tell you the time and I can take you to the place. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about knowing God Almighty laid hold of me in free reigning grace.
Yes, sir.
Something happened. And the second reason here, that is to encourage us to remember the hole of the pit, is to give assurance.
Yep.
And that's basically where I've been for the past 3 or 4 weeks. And actually that is assurance is... Peter tells us there's a way to have this assurance. That's to give diligence to make your calling and election sure. And what most people think, well, okay, yeah, I made the profession, that happened to me. Yeah, Peter's talking about digging down deep. Was it real?
Yes,
was what I say that happened to me true calling by God, based upon God having chosen me in Christ before the world began? It's not just, well, I believe the truth.
Yeah.
You know? I believe. Now, it is believing the truth, but it's not just I believe the truth. Now, Joe kind of mentioned it, not along that line, but let me tell you something. When a child is brought up under the sound of the gospel of God's free reigning grace, they're going to believe it. You bring your child here every Sunday morning, and they hear that every Sunday morning. They hear you and your spouse talk at home here and there about grace and chapel and the brethren, the sisters, and they're going to believe this. Okay? They're going to believe what you believe, basically. That doesn't mean they're one of God's.
Right.
And it doesn't mean they've been called, even if they are one of God's. So we are to remember the hole of the pit from whence we were digged. But now let's go to the fourth one. The fourth reason to remember is because of our propensity to return to the hole of the pit.
Yeah.
Now, let me stop for a moment and say, when I say that, because of our propensity to return, I want to clarify what I'm saying here. And maybe everyone hadn't experienced this. That's fine. I'm not saying everyone has to have this experience. But I remember when God began to show me light. And then, David, when that light really began to shine directly on me, and I began to receive and believe and trust the truth of God, it was like my whole life was just lifted up. It was, you know, everything was different. I had false ideas. You know, because this was so glorious, you know, I mean, they always had to, You know, you need to go out on Thursday nights and win souls. You need to go out and be a soul winner. You need to go out and witness. And I'd say, all right, it's Thursday evening, let's go. And all of a sudden, when God lays hold of you, you can't hardly keep your mouth shut. Because you've got something to say. You have something to tell someone. Something's really happened to you.
Yes, sir.
And you think, boy, life is going to be so much better now. And you find out there were problems you couldn't even have perceived before.
Exactly.
Because this has happened to you. Yes, Jay, there are problems you're going to have that you wouldn't have if it hadn't happened to you. But as Paul told the Corinthians, and this is from experience, it's not just a doctrine. Paul said, godly repentance need not be repented of. If you're sorry you are where you profess to be now and you wish you hadn't never done that, then go ahead, give it up and quit. Do it now. Just quit. Quit playing games. Because godly repentance, there is no, you don't, if it's truly happened, you don't say within yourself, I want to go live back in the hole of the pit.
Exactly.
Huh? But still we have a propensity. Huh? Because the flesh is still the flesh. And I know this, I can say we have a propensity to return, as that is humanity, but in more detail, regenerated people, but in more detail, converted people. We can have a propensity to return. And the reason I know that's true is because some do return. Some have returned. Okay? Now, Galatians chapter 4. That's where all the passage I'll begin. Galatians chapter 4. And for the sake of time, I just begin in verse 8. How be it then? You see, Paul now is asking them, I want you to think about this. Mason, doesn't that what that word, how be it then? It says, all right, consider what I've just said, all that I've just said, and what I'm about to say. Put these things together. How be it then? When ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. You were idolaters.
That's right.
You worshipped idols. And when you begin to study some of history, even extra-biblical history, about this area, and of course some people disagree as to what area that was, but either one of the areas, you found out these people were mostly actual, what we call, idolaters.
Yeah.
You know? They were a bunch of pagans.
Yeah.
They worshiped gods of just every form, sort, and name. They carved wood and hewed out rock and made themselves gods.
Yes, sir.
And this is what man by nature does.
Yes, sir.
And the truth is also this. This is also a fact, I should say. The fact is also this. Even if a person does not worship what they call multiple gods, even if a person believes in only one God, by nature that person does not worship the true and living God.
That's right.
That person will use parts of Scripture, if any at all, but only portions of Scripture to form their own opinion as to who this God is.
Right.
You know, they'll come up, this is my idea of God. I have imagined, now they may not think it that way, but they have imagined God.
That's it.
And you know where that word comes from, don't you? To imagine? Image.
Yes, sir.
They've got this picture of who God's supposed to be in their mind.
Yeah.
So they've formed this into their particular beliefs. That person is still called what? An idolater.
Yes, sir.
Paul even says about covetousness. You remember what he said covetousness is, don't you? Idolatry.
Yeah.
A lot of people think, well, I'm not an idolater. I don't have a little Buddha sitting in my house, you know. I don't have pictures of Jesus in my house. I don't have all of these icons in my home, but they have them here in their heart and their mind. Now these people, as well as all mankind, when they know not God, they do service unto those which are by nature are no gods. Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather, are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage. Now, here's a question. Is Paul saying you have went back to rank idolatry? No. They had not turned away from Christ, from Jesus, okay? They had not denied Jesus, okay, existence, not denied his existence. But as we will see, forms and forms, ritual practices, which is what all idolatry, whether it's out here or whether it's in here, is based upon.
Yes, sir.
Right? It all has its form. I believe this because I believe that. Right? And because I believe that and that, then this must be true.
Yeah.
You know? And if I believe God loves everybody, then everybody must be capable of somehow getting to where they ought to be, right? And these are what? The weak and beggarly elements of the world.
Yeah.
It's not just ritualism, but the tradition, the ritual, the culture. It's the culture of fallen humanity.
Yes, sir.
That's the weak and the beggarly elements. And he says, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, where unto ye desire again to be in bondage, ye observe days and months and times and years. See, there's their problem. They hadn't, Joe, went back to worshiping that piece of rock. But they had turned from the truth of God. They had turned from God himself, not in a complete abandonment, but they turned from that back to worshiping God through the flesh, naturally, in a natural way. Now, look at what Paul says. I am afraid of you. Now somebody, well, what does he mean? He means exactly what he said. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain.
Amen.
Paul said, I have a reason to wonder, is this real for you?
Yes, sir.
Did it really happen to you? He even goes on to say, and we'll deal with it more later. He goes on, just to, what we have is a few verses down, verse 20. I desire to be present with you now. Paul said, I'd like to be right in front of you face to face, and we deal with this one on one.
Yes, sir.
And there comes a time when you have to do that if that opportunity arises. That's right. There does come a time when that may happen. I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt. And I think a better way to put it, he says, I am perplexed of you.
Yeah.
You perplex me. I cannot... why are you here?
Yeah.
Why are you doing this? You say you know God?
Yeah.
You say God's done this thing for you? You say you see and believe and trust the Christ of God, yet you turn away from him? You turn away from him how? In going back to ceremonies and rites and rituals. They'd actually turn back to the law, Joe.
Yeah.
These idolaters, Mason, did not go back to idolatry. They turned from idolatry to God, and now where'd they turn?
Yeah.
To the law.
Yeah.
The law is still the weak and beggarly elements.
Right.
It is God's condemnation of the flesh.
Yes, sir.
That's what the law is. Now, let's just begin how Paul puts it. It's the first part of this chapter. Now, the point is, someone says, well, I know that may have happened. I know it may have happened in Galatia. But that's not going to happen here. And I think that's one of the first steps you begin to take in the slippery slope. Is when you in your own pride seem to say, somehow, we're so good, or we're so strong, or we're so wise, or we're so knowledgeable, we're above the fray. Because the truth is, there's not a one of these local assemblies Every one of them are gone today.
That's right.
Right? Not a one of them exists. We don't even know where their buildings were, where they met, other than a couple references to a school that Paul taught in, or a home where people gathered in, right?
That's it.
Every local assembly has ceased to exist thus far. Down from the first one started, David, all of them, over a span of people's lifetimes, it ceases to exist. Now somebody says, does that always have to happen? No, there'll be a group of them that exists when Christ returns. But the fact is, truth eventually fades away from everywhere, because this world is not conducive to truth.
Exactly.
It's not a place that breeds and broods truth. The world in which we live is not conducive to truth.
Exactly.
The only time you hear truth is when you meet with other people from here, you talk together.
Yes, sir.
If you ever do hear truth out there on the TV or with people you work with or whatever, it's a slip up on their part. They don't even really know what they're saying.
Exactly.
If they did, they wouldn't be living where they're living. Wouldn't be going and worshiping where they go to worship at. They'd be looking for something else.
Sir.
Let me tell you something. Pull to the pit. God, okay?
Yes, sir.
It don't take too long before religious people don't want you around them.
Exactly.
And this is a fact. Now, if we say, well, I got no problems with it. That's because you keep your mouth shut. You have no joy in it. It's not enough to change who you are and to change who you are and how you think. Because when God digs you out of the hole of the pit, bless God, that's what He does. You are not in the hole of the pit any longer. We're getting rid about God getting rid of the flesh. The flesh is still there, but we are talking about God digging you out of the hole of the pit. Where at one time you did not know God, you do what now?
Yeah.
God.
Yes, sir.
Or rather known of Him. But here's the problem. Is it just turning back to these things? Now notice how Paul puts it. Galatians chapter 1, and again for the sake of time, verse 6. I marvel. Now notice the way this is written. Now let me state it not the way it is. Here's the way I think sometimes we read it. We picture it, for whatever reason. I marvel that you're so soon removed from the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Huh? Is that what? And most people, that's what they... Well, they just left the gospel. They left the gospel. They had turned from the gospel. But what does he actually say?
Yeah.
I marvel that you're so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. So if you go to another gospel, you've not just left the gospel. You've not just removed yourself from just a doctrine, David, a certain way of saying things and preaching things. You have removed yourself from Him.
Exactly.
Isn't that what that says?
Yes, sir.
That's the danger. That's the problem of going back and dabbling around in the hole of the pit.
Yeah.
Now, I happen to believe, as we will see, I believe the preponderant testimony of Scripture is, even if a person gets back in the hole of the pit, God will not leave them there.
Yeah.
But we need to, one of the reasons to remember the hole of the pit from whence we were digged is because you don't want to go back there.
That's right.
It will not be to your benefit.
Exactly.
You go back there and you dabble around and you are one of God's, He will deal with you.
Yes, sir.
And it may be seriously. And He may not just deal with you individually. He may deal with your family.
Yes, sir.
Somebody said, well, if I do something wrong, God's got to deal with me. God will deal with mankind the way He wants to. Do not set up something and say, God's got to deal with me this way. Huh? This is serious business. This is serious. You do not fly in the face of God and think that everything will be okay.
That's exactly
This is not just a bunch of weird people gathered together over a bunch of weird doctrine. This truth has been taught, and even though these local assemblies have, Ellen, gone away. As a local assembly, they've gone away. Bless God, this truth is still here.
Yes, sir.
Little over 2,000 years later.
Yeah.
This God's still being proclaimed, Jay. And this God's still on the throne.
Amen.
And it's the apostle here, he's serious about this. I want to meet you in person. I want to deal with you face to face.
Yes, sir.
That's what he says, doesn't he? Think about it. Here's what he says. Let me find it. Be not deceived. God is not mocked.
Amen.
For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap.
Amen.
If you begin to turn away, to remove yourself from Christ, you'll reap the benefits of that. You'll reap that sowing. Somebody said, well, and religion says this all, they used to, and they debate this in Sunday school. Well, if I do wrong and I ask God to forgive me, he forgives me, doesn't he? Oh, yes. But you know what they went? They went so far to say, if you ask God to forgive you, then God just has to let that go. Everything's going to be fine. A man sows, that also shall he reap. Even if you ask forgiveness for that sowing that's wrong, David,
yes,
you're going to reap the fruit of that seed. And Henry made a couple of illustrations one time. If you drink yourself into a silly stupor, your body eventually is going to suffer that. I don't care how much you pray for forgiveness.
Exactly.
You go out here and you take drugs and you snort cocaine and you use heroin. You can't just turn around and say, oh, God, forgive me. I was wrong. I repent. And then going to miraculously heal the effects of that on your body. You can't go out here and sleep somebody that you're not supposed to be sleeping around with and just pray to God, oh, God, forgive me, I'll quit, and then expect that, right? You don't have, whatsoever. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked.
Right.
Whatsoever. As long as you, if you don't ask for forgiveness of it, then you sow, you'll reap. No, whatsoever man sows, that also shall he reap.
Amen.
And what do these people reap? Bondage. They got the bondage they were looking for. We need better rules. You know?
Yeah.
The flesh is pretty powerful, and if we can just have some rules. And see, I know there's an argument, and there are people on both sides that believe different ways, and people say you cannot legislate righteousness. You know what? That's right. But laws are not there to legislate righteousness. Laws are there to punish the evildoers.
That's right.
That's why you have laws. But these people, they weren't thinking of the law as punishment. They're thinking the law is the way to control my flesh. And that's the exact opposite of the truth.
Exactly.
The only thing you can do to the flesh at best is what? Kill it.
Yeah.
Mortify it. To, by God's grace, say, I will not be brought under its power.
Yes, sir.
And it is an effort. You don't just sit back and say, all right, God, if I'm supposed to give that up, you make it happen. He may do that.
Yeah.
You like to go out and stick needles in your arm? Has illicit drugs in it? He may make that the way of your life. He may put you in a car accident and you'd be a quadriplegic for the rest of your life, Joe. Everything they feed you, they're going to feed you through a tube or a needle.
Oh, yeah.
Huh? God's not mocked. You see, and let me tell you, religion, again, because the hole of the pit, turning or removing yourself from Christ is a dangerous thing.
Yes.
It's a dangerous thing. Now, either you believe him and you serve him or you don't.
Yeah.
There is no middle ground.
Yeah.
And Paul says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. It's not another, but there be some that trouble you. Well, wait a minute, though. But it's their fault, God. Well, God would deal with them. Paul said that, didn't he?
Oh, yeah.
He goes on, chapter 5. You'll read it. Whoever has done this, he'll bear his judgment, whosoever he be. Right?
Oh, yeah.
But he also says, you Galatians, though, don't you be deceived.
Exactly.
Don't say, well, it was all. Don't say, well, it was all. Whatsoever man sows. No, whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. So reap.
Amen.
Listen, he says, chapter 3, verse 1, Christ has been crucified by you.
Yeah.
Now, what he's saying here is, as the word was preached, this was more than just words. It came as a reality to them. This was real to them, Jay.
Yes, sir.
And that's what he says. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. I said before you, it's crucified among you. This only would I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things? See, now look. Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it yet be in vain? Now, the Galatians, because of the truth that they'd held to, had suffered. Because of holding to that truth. And let me tell you something. That's worth it.
Yes, sir.
Whether you understand it now or not, because Paul says the sufferings of this world, they're not even worthy to be compared with the glory that shall follow, right? There's no way to compare the comparison because it's so far above what the sufferings are now.
Yeah.
And the thing I've got to say, I'm going to add that this is for us. I say it as I believe Paul wrote the Hebrew epistle, and as Paul, ye have not yet resisted unto blood. There ain't one of us that suffered that far yet.
Yes, sir.
Huh? So far, we still live in a free country where we can freely worship, and we don't have to generally worry about somebody breaking through those doors, taking us to jail, and torturing us to death because we believe the truth. David, some of our brothers and sisters have went through that.
Yes,
we don't know what suffering is. Bellyache and cry over monetary things.
Yeah.
Huh? Now, I've been there. I'm not being condemned. I've been there. But all things... Huh? All things must be compared to the truth. Now, you must compare your troubles and circumstances to where God's put you. And things you suffer and go through may be severe. But you also have to look at them in light of the greater picture as well.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. We're not where we are as a people of God and as a local assembly, based solely upon some faithfulness or some goodness or some certainly not some perfection in us. We are here and believe as we believe and have the blessings we have because God Almighty in His sovereign will and providence was pleased to give them to us. He can take it away at any time. And I said this, it's been years ago, it's when we were at Mabscott. And I'll say it again. God can shut us down today. But let it not be a direct act of God based upon unfaithfulness in us. That's the whole thing. If He shuts us down, let Him shut us down while we're still striving to move forward.
Yes, sir.
Let it not be because we've done what? Removed ourselves from Him. Because God could do that too.
Oh, yeah.
That's the whole thing. I mean, God may shut us down no matter what.
Exactly.
That's not the point. Oh, got to keep this going. No, God will keep it going. You understand? Our question is, let us be faithful to the truth.
Yes, sir.
That's what we deal with. And how long this thing lasts is God's business.
Yeah.
Right? Our responsibility is not to worry about keeping it going, making it last, be faithful to the truth.
Yes, sir.
And Mason, if God shuts us down while we're faithful to the truth, that's not perfect, but faithful to the truth, putting forth effort, striving in this thing, supporting this thing, supporting the gospel. I fought the good fight. I finished my faith, my course. I've kept the faith.
Amen.
Right? That's a good thing. Right? Some people do return. And what it said, what have they returned to? A perversion.
Yep.
Huh? Now here's the thing. Most people think of what they call backsliding is when you got a person who's become a Christian, they've given up their smoking and drinking, going to the picture show. You know, this, I still ain't found a sin yet, but using tobacco, drinking, watching a movie. I quit doing all that. Now I'm a good person. I'm a Christian. I don't even find that those things to be sin. Anything could be a sin if you go too far in it, or if you do it without faith. Okay, but I ain't even got, we ain't got to a sin yet. I'm a Christian already. You know, I give up these three things. Huh? But most people think here's falling. Here's that bad part is you got this person who straightened up. They're trying to live right now. When once they lived unrighteously, now they're trying to live righteously, and all of a sudden they backslide. They fall. They fall from grace. They turn back to immorality. Paul ain't even talking about that. These people had not turned back to immorality. They turned back to morality.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. They had turned or removed themselves from him that called them and went strictly back saying, all right, now, he's got us started. Yeah. Morality, flesh, legal righteousness, that'll keep us going. That'll keep us going and perfect us in the end. Paul said, you've begun in the Spirit, you better continue in it.
Amen.
If it takes that to begin, that's a good place to keep going in, right?
That's right.
Huh? There are a lot of good illustrations for that, but you know, if something was good enough to dig you up out of the hole of the pit, better stay with what dug you out of the hole of the pit.
Yes, sir.
Huh? Don't go to something else. But don't turn back to the hole of the pit either. And as I said Sunday morning, I got no other way. I'd love to give some examples, but some examples are too embarrassing for me to give you publicly, just to be honest with you, and ain't none of your business. Huh? There's some things I had to learn the hard way.
Yes, sir.
And some people who know me now still think, well, but Walter did that. You're daggone right I did. God dealt with me over it too, David.
Yeah.
And I still have to deal with that. Don't look to me because what Walter did it. you're looking at the wrong thing, buddy.
That's it.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
We are all broken sticks.
Yes, sir.
And Paul said, you got to be careful. Don't be like those people who judge themselves by themselves.
Yeah.
And who look at each other and they say, well, okay, if I can just get to be as good as he is or a little bit better, I'll be all right. Or if I'm just not quite as bad as they are,
yeah,
I'll be all right. Right, here's the standard.
Yes, sir.
You know, it's not us.
Exactly.
And that's what some people just don't understand. That repentance and conversion, regeneration takes place once. But if you're one of God's, you will be repenting and converting for the rest of your life. And if you're not, if you can stop somewhere dead cold and stay there, you're not one of God's. Because even as Paul told these Galatians, he said, I know you're in this spot, and I can't quote it, but I got to give that to you. Listen to what he says. He said, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump.
Yes, sir.
I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded. Right?
Yeah.
If you're one of God's, this will turn around. You'll head back away from the hole of the pit.
That's right.
You will turn back wholly to Jesus Christ. Right? Paul said, I have confidence in you. Not you.
Yeah.
How? Through the Lord.
Amen.
That you will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you, he shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution?
Yeah.
Then is the offense of the cross ceased. And folks, once God begins to let you get a hold of that, you'll find out it's all right to tell somebody about the truth of Jesus Christ's work. That's nobody's work. The cross of Christ. And to expect them to be upset and offended by it.
Yeah.
See, when I first began to tell other people this, David, I thought, this is so glorious. Everybody's got to like this.
Yeah.
This is the answer.
Yeah.
Uh-uh, this offends people.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Sure.
Tell them sometime, you'll find out.
That's exactly.
But look, then as the offense of the cross ceased, I would that they were even cut off, which trouble you. And as I said, and I don't know, I people need to know what Paul really meant. Paul said, I wish they were castrated.
Yeah.
What he's talking about.
Yeah.
I mean the whole thing, lock, stock, and barrel. I would that they were cut off, which trouble you. For brethren, you've been called unto liberty.
Sir.
No man has the right to put you in bondage.
Exactly.
Only. Huh? Now here's true grace. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another.
Amen.
This ain't about me being made to feel good and you all taking care of me. This is about me ministering and serving you.
Exactly.
The same thing goes for you to among one another.
Yes, sir.
It ain't. You see, when you're sitting back and saying, all right, I'm waiting for everybody to do their part. No, just get up and start doing your part. Everything else will fall in line.
Yes, sir.
When you do that, God will bless that.
Yes, sir.
It'll fall in line. And if you decide to sit back and just wait, you may be waiting a long time because I ain't coming after you. You can stay there. You can stay there by yourself. I'm fellowshipping with God's people.
Yes, sir.
Come hell or high water, by God's grace and providence, I'm going to fellowship them. So if you want to fellowship with us, it's time to put the effort to it. Got it? Right? That's the way it is.
That's
the way it stands. That's the way it's always been in this book. That's the way it's always been in this assembly since Earl Cochran was put over this group. And by God's grace, that's the way it's going to stay.
Yes, sir.
You want to be a part of this group? Put forth the effort in it. Father, I pray that you teach us thy word. Teach us thy truth. Help us to in love, to serve one another. I ask it all in Christ's name, that his person, his work, his gospel be honored and adored among God's people. Amen.